Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
This session is The Discipline of Authentic Movement, the Development of the Ecological Self in Relation to the Discipline of Authentic Movement. And this is with Professor Helen Payne. She's a dance movement psychotherapist and a professor of psychotherapy at the University of Hertfordshire. She's also a researcher in mental health and embodiment. She developed the body-mind approach, a research-informed methodology to support people in the NHS with persistent bodily symptoms for which tests and scans come back negative, and in which she trains psychotherapists, and she has a private practice in teaching authentic movement. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Professor Helen Payne.
Thank you so much, Anna, for that wonderful introduction, and it's a really important charity. Thank you for telling us about that. I'll welcome everybody. I'm delighted to be here and thank you for your presence. I shall now go on to screen share. Is that okay?
Yeah, great.
Okay.
And I might just mention briefly, if anybody else wants to join us in the main room, if you just raise your hand or say in the chat and we can promote you to be a panelist so Helen can see you. I'll mute myself now, Helen.
Okay. Okay, so I'll take you through a few slides, and we're also going to do a little experiential in this session too. So looking at the interconnectedness between the discipline of authentic movement and the development of the ecological self. I can't seem to go forward. There we go, that's the agenda. So I'll say a little bit about the discipline of authentic movement, just a little introduction, and then we'll look at the concepts of embodiment, transpersonal elements, and also the ecological elements. And then we'll have a little 10-minute experiential followed by some questions. So hope you enjoy. Authentic movement. So discipline of authentic movement can be described as follows. A mover with eyes closed moves spontaneously from a bodily impulse. So waiting for that impulse. And directly then from the unconscious, attending to the present moment and trusting in the body's wisdom. The mover is also being witnessed benignly by another with a non-judgmental presence. The witness, as a grounded container for the mover, keeps the agreed time duration, which has already been, they've already agreed that before the mover starts moving, and tracks the mover's movements, but attending to their own personal inner experiences whilst they're tracking the mover's movements. It's a process that's unique to each participant and is one of being moved as opposed to telling yourself to move or moving in a plan. There's no plan or set of exercises. There's no music or choreography. Rather, participants surrender to their feelings, memories, imagination, their sensations, bodily sensations, their thoughts, and the experience. The mover is in control, though, through their inner witness, but is open to engaging with their active imagination in silence or with sound. Following then the mover's experience, there's a transition time between the moving witnessing process and the languaging. And this can employ reflections which later are processed verbally in the sharing. Authentic movement can be practiced both in a group or as one-to-one, either in psychotherapy or for creative processes. We know from research that it cultivates deep empathy, presence, it involves self-exploration and meaning-making, it instills hope, heightens insights, and builds self-esteem. It's beneficial for most people, and especially those who have difficulty processing their issues verbally through traditional talking therapies. It began in California, as many of these things do, based on Jung's concept of the active imagination. It was in the 1950s that Jungian analyst Mary Starks Whitehouse developed what she calls moving in depth, which is now called authentic movement. She and her two students, Janet Adler, who trained me, and Joan Chodorow, were interested in the ways that expressive movement could integrate mind, body, and spirit. As I practice authentic movement, it's informed by the embodied and enacted relational psychotherapy, but within an eco-psychological perspective. So recognizing the connectivity then between the individual body and the wider body of the earth. I was privileged to grow up on a farm in the countryside and have been fortunate to always maintain a strong connection with sentient beings and with nature itself. So what's witnessing? Somatic-oriented psychotherapists have developed a multitude of ways to support clients in cultivating awareness of their bodies through tuning in to the body felt senses of internal sensations, or what's called interoception, and also in developing skills for kinesthetic sensing movement. By deeply listening and attending to our interior environment and on the skin surface, an inner witness can kindly and mindfully observe the self moving. Through presence to this self-observation, this self-witnessing, emotions can be felt, impulses can be tracked, sensations can be felt, images seen, thoughts thought, and needs noticed. By this particular attention or presence, learning to sense when grounded in the body, a development of the capacity to consciously choose how to respond develops. To notice without identifying with or unconsciously reacting to immediate experiences. This intrapersonal awareness facilitates the development of internal integration, the felt experience of inner connectivity and skills for authentically expressing internal phenomena. So is the way I practice authentic movement, the relationship between mover and witness is paramount. So connecting with bodily felt experiences and being in contact with another, the witness, involves an oscillating attention between both the internal experience and the external stimuli, but within this relationship, the mover and the witness. Somatic experiences are then explored as emergent phenomena within the relational context. And we know from research on mirror neurons and authentic movement that kinesthetic empathy involves embodying of a client's feeling states and movement qualities by the therapist. This is what we could call somatic countertransference. This has been described as affect attunement, resonance, synchronicity, and a subjectivity between the therapist and the client. Just embodiment has been defined in many ways, but just to give one definition here, it's the active, engaging process of sensory awareness, of being in and living through the body. It developed out of phenomenology, Merleau-Ponty, and it's about experiencing in the moment. It also involves cultivating somatic awareness of embedment, of being in and living through embodied reciprocity with the more than human world. Participating in embodied relationships with the more than human world can evoke a felt sense of one's ecological self. We know our human bodies only in relation to other bodies, and that these others include the more than human world of soaring eagles, reaching trees, falling cliffs or drifting clouds. So since it came out of, authentic movement came out of the active imagination of in Jungian thought, we know that transpersonal experiences can be described as those experiences which are beyond words, the numinous, encounters in altered states of consciousness, which often the mover finds themselves in, shifting awareness to something beyond or more than the self. In authentic movement, movers may disidentify from the personal and experience states of being moved by impulses from the collective unconscious or cultural aspects. These transpersonal states have also been described as emerging from and within the relational connections between mover and witness. That is, the transference or the countertransference, as well as between movers themselves, group, where you're moving together with others. So this separation between self and others actually dissolves. This phenomenological understanding offers a philosophical perspective of the potential transpersonal nature of moving and witnessing. And Mary Whitehouse reports, she says, each contact was an existential moment consisting of I and thou, and a third element, that which is between us, that which is not mine, though I am in it, and not yours, though you are in it. When this third element is present, the movement takes on a simplicity and inevitability. Eco-psychologists regard human suffering as intertwined with the suffering of the larger Earth community, a mutual dis-ease, which is rooted in people's dissociative alienation from the more than human world. By us cultivating our awareness of this interdependence and our ecological selves, perhaps healing can take place both for us and the Earth. Healing dissociation or alienation involves us remembering, reconnecting, and reassociating through the replacing of our humanness within the larger place of the more than human world. Eco-psychotherapy practices offer clients opportunities to explore relationships with the more than human world. And we know about equine therapy and wild therapy and working in nature, as Adrian has spoken about before. In my practice of authentic movement, we empathically witness sentient beings outdoors and also elements of nature. Then sharing the impact of that experience as we attend to our own bodily felt experience whilst practicing that witnessing, participants report feeling more grounded, more connected, and more fully themselves as a result. So anyone tired yet? How are you feeling? Are you a bit getting bored, or I don't know where is everybody? Are people attending, or do you need a stretch? Maybe just give yourself a stretch with your arms up and to the side and to the back, stick your chest out and then up again and then over to one side and then over to the other side. And just turn around and look what's behind you to the left and what's behind you to the right. Good. So the aim of this practice is to cultivate an awareness of embodiment and embeddedness, to foster mutual healing for client, for humans, and also for the Earth. Through these empathic experiences, emerges an embodied ecological self. This ecological self involves relational skills that nourish reciprocal connections with parts and wholes of ecological systems. And this leads me on to participatory knowing. This leads on to embodied participatory knowing, but participatory knowing requires receptivity, being fully present, creativity, embodiment, being somatically engaged, physically and energetically open to change. This knowledge, this participatory knowing, is alive and inactive and is interspecies, so it's shared amongst all sentient beings. Participatory consciousness involves active engagement in reciprocal co-creative happenings of making contact. And participatory knowing occurs in dialogue, an event in which one participates in rather than within the confines of the intrasubjective world only. That's the personal intra. So kinesthetic empathy, which is part of this moving witnessing experience, can be understood as the embodied experience of participatory knowing, a felt sense of reciprocity and somatic resonance vibrating between bodies. And we know that from research that this involves not only mirroring movements and internally enacting those movements without actually acting out them out as in a witness experience, but also nonverbal, verbal, and soundings. So not necessarily words, but noises, if you like. Sensory perception is dynamic, an exchange between the sensing and the sensed, both engaged, responsive, alive, and animate. And our sensing bodies are like open circuits that complete in other beings as the act of perception occurs. Authentic movement offers opportunities to engage in the sort of embodied relationship through this participatory knowing and sensory perception and kinesthetic empathy with other movers and with the witnesses. Because as the movers are moving, they are conscious or not, they are being witnessed. And they know that somewhere. They are in relationship. Authentic movement then is traditionally practiced between humans. In the training I offer, I deliver this experience of working with nature, working with the earth, working with sentient beings, because I've got a rural setting. I'm fortunate. Very fortunate in having an outdoor space with trees, vegetation, animals, and so on. But also, I have witnessed in my studio numerous relationships with nature. For example, animals. I saw a panther the other day. Water flowing, the ocean, fish being buried beneath the earth. And Abram talks about owning up to being an animal, a creature of the earth, this huge windswept body of water and stone, this vexed being in whose flesh we're entangled. Becoming earth, becoming animal, becoming in this manner, fully human. So people can develop this other identity of an embodied ecological self. And these opportunities in authentic movement, for example, open the door to reassociate with the more than human world. By nourishing and protecting the more than human world, we nourish and protect ourselves. By expanding our sense of self through somatic awareness of this interdependence, witnessing the impact on the body from the more than human world, we develop greater consciousness in how to live in and relate to the earth, which sustains us all and all sentient beings. But it does entail us to become ethically responsible individuals. So I'd like to offer the opportunity for people to take part in a 10-minute experiential, if you're willing, in which we we witness, using our kinesthetic empathy and our participatory knowing and our attention to presence, with eyes open, a sentient being or an aspect of nature, either inside or outside. It's up to you. If you don't have access to the outside, a garden, or you can see a tree through the window, maybe you've got a plant in the house, or maybe you've got a cat or a dog, you know, or a hamster, I don't know. But if you could find an element of nature or a sentient being, ensure you have a private space, though, so you're not going to be interrupted, because you're going to be spending 5 minutes with this element of nature or sentient being. And can you just go inside, and as you look around at what you're going to maybe take some time witnessing, are you drawn to, for example, a particular stone or a crystal or a tree or a flower or an animal or plant? Time yourself for 5 minutes, so you might need to use your phone to do your timing, but be kind to yourself. This witnessing is non-judgmental attention to the more than human world. And it's also about developing this presence in yourself to your own experience of witnessing. And just notice what's happening in your body and any movement impulse, but don't act on it. Any sound or noise that might want to come out, any sensation that you're aware of, any thoughts, images, or general associations, maybe memories and obviously feelings might be there too. And then after the 5 minutes of witnessing, take another 5 minutes to write down your embodied experience straight away into language without speaking to anyone. And then if you want to return to the group, perhaps share some of your experiences. Maybe, I don't know if we've got a chat, or maybe you could do that in questions, I don't know. Or could we have people just share, maybe 5 or 6 people could share, turn their mics off and share. But please ensure you have somewhere to take any material which may be triggering, like supervision or personal therapy. Just so you, and if you're currently going through maybe a bit of a trauma in life or whatever, just consider whether you want to participate in this. So that's a little bit of a little warning there. So should we take 10 minutes, 5 minutes for witnessing and 5 minutes to jot down any words, an embodied languaging, if you like, of the experiencing?
Sorry, I don't really understand, because I thought authentic movement was about moving, but we're not moving?
Yes, we're not moving, no, because I can't witness everybody, and just for safety's sake, we're going to go into witnessing. In witnessing in relation, though, to the more than human world. So it's about developing a stronger, clearer internal witness and receiving whatever comes as you pay attention and are present to your body in this moment of more than human world witnessing. Are you with me? Thank you for your question, Lee.
Would you like
any other questions?
Would you like me to time the 5 minutes and then the other 5 minutes and let people
know? That would be helpful. Thank you so much, Anna. No problem. That would be really helpful. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to leave the slide up. So if you get lost anywhere, you can come back and just check in what the next part of the process is. I was going to have a ding. I've usually got a sounding bowl. I just go ding. So imagine that's happened. I'm going to do this myself.
So that's the first 5 minutes.
So now it's time to bring your experience to a close. And if you'd like to come back to the group.
I don't know if you'd like to, Helen, but we can give people the microphone if they want to share rather than sharing in the chat.
Yeah. That would be good. Yes, that would be good. Anybody who would like to share verbally so we can all hear, that would be wonderful if you feel you can. Anybody want to?
So if you'd like to share your experience, if you raise your hand or say in the chat, and Roisin is just saying it might be possible to, if you could stop the screen share for this bit.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I could start us off because I did this myself.
Great.
Shall I start us off?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I was drawn to a flower in a pot just outside on the patio there. And as I went towards it, I saw it was slightly wilting and I was reminded of it's coming to the end of its life. We're coming into winter and it's getting cold and it's going to be dying soon. And I remember thinking now, yes, we all come to the end of our life, and I'm probably further along the track than many of you. And I'm seeing rain, little blobs of rain on its petals, and I'm reminded of tears. I notice the warm sun on the back of my neck, and I'm feeling grateful for living, for being alive. I see it vibrate very slightly, and I'm reminded of the vibrations that take place all across the world. My body wants to sway in time with this movement of side to side. The wind is catching the petals, and I notice the sparkle deep down near the red center of the flower, and I feel a sense of excitement as though it's a treasure to be honored, to be protected. And then it was time. So if you notice, I spoke in the present tense. This is something we have to learn to do, but it keeps us connected, I find, if we speak in the present tense. But you don't have to, is it? But it's part of the training because it's a skill. But don't feel pressured to do that at all. Anybody else want to have a...
I can go next if you...
Yeah. Okay, Neen, thank you.
Mind if I just interrupt to say also Abada was interested in sharing her thoughts as well, just to put that on your radar, Helen. Thank you. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel touched because I looked at a flower, and I feel touched to see the baby leaves on the little what do you call it, trunk, just a little tree, and yeah, I see that they're very small and very tender. And I see that they're safe, and the other leaves are like adult, and they're really wanting to grow, and they're open and receptive, and they're very confident. And yeah, I feel the little leaves are safe. And I see that where there has been sun in the past, the tree has grown very differently from the area where it hasn't received much sun. I see that the leaves are, where there hasn't been sun, it's quite straight, but where there has been sun, the tree has been curving, and the leaves are much, have all different shapes. And I get this feeling that there's movement, and it's a bit of a dance actually, and abundance. I get the feeling of joy. And then last thing, and I will see that the tree has really grown, a bit has been added, there are new, that's very I see that I am excited about that, and it has really grown. Yeah, it's feeling of, I feel there's a sense of elegance.
Yeah, I can see on your face the excitement. Yeah, you're smiling. Thank you, Nina. Thank you. Abada, would you like to say something? Just very, very short.
Yes, thank you. This is really significant for me because authentic movement is like, for me, it's like, wow, the best. I studied in Argentina with Juan Cholo for the first time, and since then, it's my favorite thing. My balcony is right here, and the sun is coming from the east in the mornings. And I felt so much peacefulness. This is my favorite spot in the house. I always sit here to eat, and I noticed that, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And you know, that sense of peace resonates like inside me. Like, wow, it's really something. And then I realized, you know, the water for the birds was not necessarily clean. So I was not a passive, you know, witness. I had to move and take the water off and take some leaves off the little pollinators. And I saw new flowers that I didn't see before. And I see that they're really kind of, you know, happy with each other. They are just there. They are just grateful for the sun, for the water they get, for the life. And that really touched me and make, you know, that put me in a space of, let's say, humbleness to, you know, to the great whole and to also to the experience of being here with all of you. So I wanted to say thank you. It is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'm pleased to hear you had this sense of responsibility almost for this plant, which of course, you know, begins to cultivate this sense of ethical responsibility that we all have for our planet, for our Earth. And that needs to be cultivated in every single human being before we can really take care of our Earth in the way that it needs to be taken care of by us. So thank you very much. Okay, so I think we'll open to questions now, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Yes, so there's a person in the attendees who still had some feedback. Would you be okay to take that feedback?
I'm just looking at the time, and I don't think we've got, because it's 12:45 and we have to go to questions now. But okay. Thank you. If you want to share in the chat though, that would be great. Can I share? I've got the references if anybody wants to take any, you know, to take, shall I put the references up?
That would be great. There was people asking in the chat if that was possible, yeah.
Yeah, I can put that up.
And there's a couple of people had commented in the chat about what their experience was as well. But in terms of questions, we've got a couple of questions in the Q&A. So Laura says, is this third element related to this intertwining of human suffering and the earth suffering, the third element from White House?
Yes, absolutely. She was talking about her experience, wasn't she? Let me just go back to the quote. This transpersonal, where is it? I can't find it now. But she's talking about the transpersonal. She's talking about the spiritual, the numinous, and because she's a Jungian, she was a Jungian analyst, so that comes in very strongly, and that's where authentic movement has grown from. It's grown from Jungian thought, and particularly from the whole notion of active imagination. So people who participate in authentic movement, they do frequently have these more transcendent or altered states where they get connected into this the other, the bigger than just little me, or even the little group, you know, the big me, if you like.
That's all the questions we have in the Q&A box, but someone has their hand up in attendees. Would you be okay if we give them the mic? Oh, they've put it down.
Yeah, sure.
Laura says, beautiful, thank you. So that was her question. So we've got some things coming up in the chat, more reflections in the chat. Earlier on in the chat, Dan said, can we see some authentic movement? But I think that's given us an experience ourselves of what it might be like to be moving. I don't know what your response to that.
I only, because we're online, I can't hold the group moving, and it's important. The relationship is really important in authentic movement, and I'm always the witness. The therapist is, or the facilitator is the witness. And although I've done lots of one-to-one online authentic movement, so I've got a mover moving and then I'm the witness, and that works very well, it doesn't work so well when you've got a whole group, especially a group of what, 94 people. So I've done 100 in Australia, but then I've been face to face, and I've been able to do that, been able to have that many people. So at the moment, I'm only offering, when I'm doing like presentations, I'm only offering the witnessing experience. But the whole central core of my work is this relationship, the relationship between mover and witness, within the more than human world. So it's a relationship between mover and witness, but also mover and witness within the larger more than human world.
It was a beautiful exercise. I felt like I was moving with my plant. So yes, butterfly Ombre has got her hand up, so I'll let them have the mic. So you're now able to speak now, Butterfly.
Okay, hi. I just wanted to share, maybe it's too late, I don't know, about the witnessing. And what I was writing was, while I witness the birds and the wind, I feel their song in my heart, and I feel I belong, I feel I'm alive, and there is big gratitude and big happiness and calm coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Butterfly. What a beautiful name. thank you so much. This connection, you see, can be life-changing. And we need to do these connections. We need to have everybody doing these connections. So it's getting in touch, isn't it? It's being touched. Getting in touch and being touched.
So there's a couple more questions appeared in the Q&A. So Rachel says, hello, Helen. How would you include authentic movement during a one-to-one counselling session?
Oh, yes, I do that a lot. people come to me for verbal counselling as well as movement psychotherapy. It's a whole different way of working, perhaps, but I do say to them when they come that I work with, you know, the non-verbal communication as well, and also drawing sometimes, and sometimes empty chair type role play things. So I do, you know, explain that I might be offering this. And as people are talking, I had a client the other day who, she was feeling very hopeless and had her head in her hands like this. She was like this. So I just simply invited her to witness herself with her head in her hands, the hands in contact with her head, and just close her eyes and just notice what her body needed to do. What was the action that her body needed to do? And so she went like this, and then she sat up and she went right like this and opened out. And it took her into a whole, it transformed her inner experience of the hopelessness into something that had possibilities, that there were opportunities here. Just by making that change, just by sensing what our body needed to do and then opening it out and witnessing that, and then languaging, you know, coming from that embodied experience, how do you language that? You know, what do you want to say about that? So actually taking the movement and then languaging the experience from the movement is incredibly important, because then the language is embodied. The language is coming out of an embodied experience rather than just the cognitive intellect.
Moving.
Does that answer your question?
Does that answer your question, Rachel? I think it seemed to me like it answered it quite fully. Stefan says, does the witness track also his inner experience while witnessing or not?
Yes, a witness cannot be totally attentive all the time, but the intention is there. So just noticing when you're wondering, just noticing and coming back. It's a bit like meditation or, you know, mindfulness, breathing or something, where you're just noticing the impact of the movement on you. So the impact of the other on you as they move or as they don't move, because stillness is very possible as well. And quite often in nature, the element of nature you might be witnessing doesn't move, or it might move just minuscule because of a little bit of wind or something. And what does that what effect does that have on you? As you notice that you've drifted off, and then then you notice that, and then you come back, and you intend to be present again, and then you drift off again, and then you come. So it's just noticing. It's not being judgmental. It's just noticing that you've drifted off and being aware enough to notice that even, and then coming back to presence within the body and presence with the other.
It's definitely a practice, isn't it?
Oh, Rachel says,
yes.
Janet Adler calls it a discipline. It is a discipline.
Yeah, it's a discipline. You're constantly having to come back, aren't you? Jules says, do you take research students for PhD in this field?
Absolutely, I do. I've got several. I'm allowed 6 a year, so there's a waiting list. But yes, absolutely. I'd love somebody to do something on authentic movement and the earth, or, you know, something to do with ecology and authentic movement, because that really needs pushing home, I think. So anybody interested, please join the line.
Neen, do you have a question?
Actually, I've got a student finishing in March, so there is going to be a space in March.
I'm just wondering, I live in Cambridge, and there used to be an authentic movement group here in Cambridge, but the teacher has stopped. And I wonder, such a shame, because I just think it's so valuable to do it once a month. So I'm wondering, do you know of other places around here that there are groups where you can do it?
Well, I'm in Hertfordshire, so you're not far from me if you want to join one of my groups.
Well, Hertfordshire, that's expensive to get there.
Is it? Okay. Oh, I can do one-to-one online. I might even experiment with maybe a small group online, like 3 or 4 people, just very small. I might experiment with that and see whether if it works, just maybe a day.
Be interesting to see if that works,
It would be interesting, actually, because we could do breakout rooms.
Yes.
And have witness and mover in the breakout rooms. But I would want to hold the group for a little while just to, you know, be able to bring you into, scaffold you into the way we work. Do quite a lot with nature as well, because you could go outside and then come, as we've just done. The possibilities. And also you can meet with up to 6 people from another. You can meet with up to 6 people as long as you keep 2 meters distance. So there could be a small group if we kept 2 meters distance in my studio, but I haven't done that yet. But then, you know, I'm thinking about how would we do that? We'd have to kind of put cushions around 2 meters away or something. I don't know. You've got to be creative, haven't you, in these particular tricky times. Thanks.
The time has slipped away, and I'm afraid it's come to the end of the session already. I can't believe it. It's gone very quickly for me. I'm sure it's probably gone really quickly for the other participants. I'll come back to you, Helen, at the end to ask what's your top tip for being embodied. So I'll leave you to muse on that for a moment. But I think you will have seen that in the chat, we had the link for if you want to find out more about Helen. We'd also encourage you to join the coffee breaks. So after this session finishes in the portal, if you go to community and then into coffee breaks, you'll be taken into a Zoom room, which is in the meeting format. So you'll be able to chat to one another about how things went in your previous session. You'll be in a group maybe with people from the other channels as well. We'd also like to say, if you're not already in the Facebook group, you'd like to join the Facebook group for the Embodiment Conference. And there's also Facebook groups for each channel. So the Ecology and Research channel has its own Facebook group, if you could join that. And as this session was happening, there were another 9 sessions happening. So if you've got FOMO like I do and feel like you want to jump about all the different sessions, maybe you need time to digest it and you don't want to miss anything, the package is available to buy at 50% off for the life of the conference. Once the conference is over, it will go up. So that's an opportunity for you to buy the library to have time to digest it. So the link will be going into the chat. The next session in the Ecology and Research channel is going to be with Thomas Shore Conn, and he's doing a session titled From Normal to Natural, Master Your Inner World and Connect to Nature. And that's all from me. So just to finish off, Helen, do you have your top tip for being embodied?
I think I was going to have to do this. intend to be present to yourself and the other. Have the intention to be present to yourself and the other.
Beautiful. Thank you. We had a lot of love for you, Helen, in the chat.
Thank you, everyone.
Everybody's
in the chat. Thank you for participating. And I hope to see some of you again. Be nice.
Yeah. So how can we, Helen, how can we find out about maybe when you're hosting Authentic Movement online?
Just email me and we'll work something out.
Oh yeah.
I'd be interested to experiment with a small group maybe, but there's
your
also
email address is there.
My email is here, h.l.payne@hearts.ac.uk. That's my email if anybody wants to contact me. Thank you.
You'll be inundated. Okay, so I think we're going to close the session now. So thanks so much, Helen. That was brilliant.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Oh, reading list.
It doesn't go, sorry.
No, we're still here.
I can send the reading list to people if they want it. I can send the reading list. Just email me for it.
Are you there, Roisin?
Yes, I'm here. Helen, you know you can do a post in the Facebook group as well, just to do a follow-up for anyone that you'd like to contact.
What do I don't really do Facebook. What do I do?
Oh, no problem. We can actually do that for you if that's the case. So we can just put together a short post with your email address, you to send the mailing list and the website where people can find out more about you.
The website, well, I've got a number of websites there, but they're all academic. They're sort of, you know, I've got like the Hertfordshire one, which is all about my research and the PhDs and so on. And then I've got the Authentic Movement blog, which is just nothing's happening. Apart from doing individual work, I've just put stuff up there saying because of COVID, I'm not doing face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. No problem. I did notice there was two web addresses on the bio stuff that you had sent for the website. So we'll just arrange to get a post done in the Facebook group saying, delighted to have hosted you. Thanks so much. Here's your email address. Any further questions can be directed here.
Okay. Thank you so much for your hosting, Anna.
Thank you. It was beautiful.
I've forgotten your name, Adrian. Not Adrian.
Adrian Rushing. Okay. No problem. I know I actually meant to keep rename myself, but every time we went into the full screen mode I lost access to a lot of things, so I'll have to play around and see what I'm doing, what I need to do better.
Thank you both for your help technically and also just being present, really. It was very helpful.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I was delighted to be here. Thank you so much. I'll end the call now, if that's okay with everyone. See you all soon. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Bye. Can I have a look at the chat? Can I have a look at the chat before
I
go?
Yes, of course. Chat, Helen.
Okay, thanks.
You can save it if you press on the three dots where you can type in the chat beside that. There's three dots, so you can actually save it.
Where?
So see where it says panelists and attendees underneath the chat?
Yes.
There's three save dots chat. Just beside that, save chat.
That Pathways to Wellbeing is only about the body-mind approach. It's not about authentic movement.
So in the Facebook post, should we say if anyone's interested in authentic movement to
email me? email me, because the pathways to wellbeing, it's been taken over by the university, and we're not doing training. We are doing a training actually in November, but it's not on that website because the university have taken over the website. I can't put anything on now. It's best that they just email me and I can send them stuff.
Are you still there, Adrian?
I'm still here, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I'm just turning things off in the background here, but there's actually, just to let you know, there's still a few attendees in the webinar.
I did save it, but I don't know where it's gone to. I did do this.
So have you recorded anything on Zoom before?
No.
Okay, so likely what happens is if you go into documents on your desktop, you will find a new folder called Zoom. It'll
be in there, okay.
I suspect that's where it'll be, yes. But if you just search even for Zoom, and you might find the files related to it, and then you can see what is saved by day. But that's generally where I find it. If you go into documents, there should be a new folder created called Zoom.
Not in downloads, in documents.
For me, it's rarely in downloads, because the Zoom is active on your desktop. You're not technically downloading it; it's part of the
offer. Oh, okay. Oh, yes, it's in there. It's Zoom.
Okay.
Great. So 15th of the 10th. That's it. Ecology and research. Oh, brilliant.
Super.
Thank you.
Enjoy reading them, because there was some lovely ones, some lovely contributions.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read any of them out to you, so that's good you've got it. Are you okay, Roisin, to put that Helen's email address and that for Authentic Movement to contact her on that email address in the Facebook post?
Yes, I'm just making notes on that now.
Brilliant, thank
you. It's H.L, not I. People sometimes think it's I, but I always do capital H.L so that people don't think it's I, because then it just bounces back.
Yes, indeed. No problem. H-E-R-T-S. And are you, you said you're not very active on Facebook, so I can't probably...
No, not very. I just don't have time to do all this stuff. I really don't.
I know. I totally understand. Look, that's no problem at all. I'm going to go ahead and call now just to see if the video editor is having to do too much editing post-conversation.
What did you say?
I said, I'll go ahead and end the call now just to see if the video editor is having to do too much after the fact. But thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And you. Thank you very much, both of you. Should I just press leave now then?
Yeah, I'm going to end the call anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Have a good day.